Senator Barack Obama holds a 44-38% lead in Wisconsin over Senator John McCain, according to a poll just released from the Wisconsin Policy Research Institute. We'll get analysis of that poll, and we'll find out why one of our guests says it's going to be a tough election year for Republicans. Plus, we will discuss other political news making headlines this week during our Week in Review. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Friday, August the 8th. And we are happy to have with us, as usual, two guests with different political perspectives to debate and discuss the news of the week with you. We will talk about the news from the campaign trail and other news of political significance from Wisconsin and around the world. Let me welcome both of our guests. First, Jim Miller, president of the Wisconsin Policy Research Institute. Good morning.
Good morning. It's good to be with you, Joy.
Yes, and Ruth Conniff also joins us, political editor for the Progressive Magazine. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Let's go to Jim Miller first. Since you released this new poll, what do we make of Barack Obama's 44-38% lead over John McCain in Wisconsin?
Well, I mean, Obama's ahead.
It's narrowed, though, right?
Yeah, it's narrow. I think one of the things to remember about this poll, from our perspective, is about 18% of the people in the state still haven't really made up their mind yet. But there are some reasons to believe that, you know, even though it's a six-point spread, the results are a little bit tougher for John McCain than might meet the eye initially.
Because we are very unhappy with the direction the country is going.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, we've been polling for a long time in the state, and only the lowest number we've ever had, only 17% of the people say they think the country is moving in the right direction.
Yeah, so that does not bode well for John McCain or any Republican.
Well, it doesn't bode well if you're the party perceived to be, you know, the party in power in the White House, that kind of a number. You know, it's one of the great ironies. Congress is in much worse shape, but Congress is an institution, and the president still is the leader of the country. And, you know, candidly, this is not all that dissimilar to what the situation was 2 years ago in the gubernatorial race. I think it's a tough year for Republicans.
Yeah. Ruth Conniff, what do you read into this?
Well, I think it's a tough year for Republicans, no doubt. I mean, we've had 8 years of disastrous Bush administration policy, and McCain is closely allied with a lot of the most disastrous policies of the administration, including, first and foremost, the Iraq War. And then on the campaign trail, McCain has stumbled a lot. He doesn't seem like the McCain of 2000, who was so charming to reporters because he spoke off the cuff and in a direct fashion. I mean, I remember interviewing him and being, like many reporters, sort of charmed by the fact that he seemed less like other politicians. He seemed to be plain-spoken. Now he's reversed himself on various issues, and his reputation as a reformer and making common cause with somebody like Russ Feingold on campaign finance reform is badly tarnished, most recently by this $50,000 he just had to return in bundled contributions. And then from the $1 million he got in June alone from big oil companies. So as he's, you know, now stumping around the country, drill here, drill now, the fact that he's gotten a couple of $1 million from companies that stand to profit greatly from offshore drilling, I think his credibility is in jeopardy, and I think he's sort of stumbling around to find a message, and most recently he's going negative on Obama, and that has probably helped him, or at least hurt Obama, not helped McCain so much as I think it has hurt Obama a bit, and I don't think the Obama campaign has responded adequately, but I think the McCain campaign looks like it's floundering.
I was going to ask you why you think Obama's lead then is so small, if McCain has made all these stumbles and we're so unhappy with the Bush administration, the direction of the country, shouldn't this be landslide territory for Obama over McCain?
Well, it may be. I mean, it may still be. You know, the polls change week to week, and of course Obama is still ahead, so it's sort of unfair, I think, the way that we discuss the lack of a landslide as almost a defeat for Obama. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, I think the negative campaigning has been working. I think that it's hurt Obama. I think that some of the ads, it's interesting. People like David Gergen detect a strong racial overtone to some of the McCain ads. And I think that that's an interesting issue because it's so coded and it runs so deep in our culture that there are people for whom race is a, an enormous issue in this campaign, and there are people for whom it's not an issue at all.
Yeah.
And I think that that the fact that people like Gergen, who grew up in the South as an older white man, really detects this note of taking down Obama for being uppity as a strong note against him, I think is really interesting. And I think also just the idea that he's a lightweight. I think McCain got a big gift from Hillary and has been running with it in terms of tarring Obama for his popularity, which, of course, is the swift-boating tactic to attack a candidate on his strength. So, it's, you know, the fact that he's very popular and charismatic is, you know, something that the McCain campaign has been trying hard to spin against him. And I think that that's been a successful tactic for Republicans.
We will play some of these ads, the negative ads that have been released this week, and have you both of you comment on those issues. But first, Jim Miller, to what do you attribute Obama's small lead in the poll so far?
Well, I mean, I forgot I was doing the show. I think to begin with, Barack Obama is a very, very good politician. I think people who think he's some sort of a ideologue and a new, you know, fresh air coming into politics is totally different. I don't think that's accurate. One of the first things he did, he decided he would take government financing for his campaign, and then as soon as he discovered there would be much more money coming into his campaign if he didn't, he switched his mind, which is the way politicians work. I think he basically is running a very good campaign the way he did against Clinton. He's not trying to make any mistakes. He's not saying anything about issues. I think that one of the things that, you know, talking about Gergen, I mean, it appears in the media that the Obama people have sort of like spread it out, going back to the Clintons, that if you criticize this guy on anything, it somehow leads to racism. I don't know that that's a very good way of doing it, but it's certainly a technique that the Obama people are in favor of. The bottom line is Obama is a very good politician. He is very articulate. There is some real questions about what he stands for. He hasn't had a track record on just about anything. You know, you can talk about John McCain and being tarnished with Feingold and such, but what's Obama ever done? One of the things I think that's going to happen in this campaign, from the McCain perspective, they have to try and make this election about Barack Obama.
Yeah. Well, that's what they apparently are trying to do. Let me play. Both campaigns released new ads this week. John McCain released a second celebrity-themed ad. This one did not have a photo of Paris Hilton in it, but it questioned whether Obama was ready to lead and whether Obama would be good for our families.
Is the biggest celebrity in the world ready to help your family? The real Obama promises higher taxes, more government spending, so fewer jobs. Renewable energy to transform our economy? Create jobs and energy independence? That's John McCain.
I'm John McCain, and I approve this message.
Yeah, so apparently Jim Miller, the McCain campaign, thinks that it has a winner in terms of a theme here, painting Barack Obama as a famous celebrity, but an empty suit, making us question his substance.
What? I think what they're trying to do is to make the election about Obama. Again, you know, I mean, Obama is going to try and make this about George Bush and John McCain or Mick Bush. So, I mean, both sides have a strategy on what they want to do here and how they want voters to make decisions in November. Personally, I think McCain, if he does not make this election about Barack Obama, he's probably going to lose.
Yep.
But I think you're going to see much more of it from McCain's side. And I think it's legitimate, actually. This is a political election. This is not, you know, a debate among academics for the presidency.
Yeah, Ruth Conniff, a legitimate tactic?
Well, legitimate. I mean, he's using a lot of really atrophied Republican talking points in that ad, the idea of tax and spend liberals. Look, I mean, McCain just floated a tax plan that wants to give the oil companies another $4 billion by cutting corporate tax, the corporate tax rate from 25 down to 25% from 35%. He wants to, you know, drill here, drill now, and he's taken millions from these same oil companies. So cutting taxes, continuing to spend $3 billion a week in Iraq, you know, this is what we've been seeing for 8 years, and I'm not sure that those ideas are going to make Americans feel that we're going to have peace and prosperity in this country anytime soon. So I think on the message, it's sounding pretty atrophied, and he just doesn't seem to have a whole lot more than the Bush administration has already been giving us.
And the Obama camp released a new ad of its own linking McCain to President Bush.
He's the original maverick.
The president and I agree on most issues. There was a recent study that showed that I voted with the president over 90% of the time.
John McCain supports Bush's tax cuts for millionaires, but nothing for 100 million households. He's for billions in new oil company giveaways while gas prices soar, and for tax breaks for companies that ship jobs overseas. The original maverick, or just more of the same?
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
And that, based on the poll you released, Jim Miller, would be a winning theme for Barack Obama linking
McCain
to Bush.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Obama's doing what he's got to do, and McCain's going to have to do what he's got to do. When you say, you know, this sort of like an atrophied Republican strategy, it's actually been pretty successful in the past. Now, I don't question, you know, what's the content of these things. I think they're trying to leave an impression, and the impression is, from McCain's standpoint, that Obama is an untested guy with very little experience. He has to make this election based on who's got more experience, who can lead the country, and who is the country feeling most safe with the person being commander-in-chief. If he can't do that, he's not going to win.
Mm-hmm. I think that's right. I think that what McCain is
by
doing,
a couple of points or 10 points, you have to win.
Mm-hmm. Ruth?
I think what McCain is doing is trying to sow doubt and fear about Obama and uncertainty. And it's true that this is a familiar theme, right? It's sort of fear versus hope. And I'm struck by the fact that how many McCain signs do you see? You know, I see a lot of Obama signs. And, you know, obviously, you know, I live in Madison, Wisconsin, so that's not so surprising. But there's a cover story in Newsweek this week about the South and how Obama versus McCain is unsettling the South. And the author of the story, Christopher Dickey, whose dad wrote Deliverance, talks about driving through the South, and he doesn't see any McCain signs. You know, and yet he's in states where he's sure McCain is going to win. So I think that it's true what Jim is saying, that this is an election about whether the public can get behind Obama and or whether it's going to fall back on this sort of fear, doubt, and then, you know, Dickey chronicles a whole lot of racial antagonism in the South. And just whether people are willing to make that leap to Obama. But you don't see the big McCain rallies and the big McCain constituency or even the McCain yard signs.
Yeah, we have to take a short pause, remind listeners that you can join in with an issue from the news this week that you would like our two guests to discuss. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guests this week on The Week in Review, Ruth Conniff, political editor for The Progressive Magazine, and Jim Miller, president of the Wisconsin Policy Research Institute. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you stay tuned. Coming up this afternoon, Ben Marins is with you for At Issue with Ben Marins. After 4, it's your views on the news. You're invited to give a call with your thoughts about what you think is the week's most significant news story. That's coming up after 4, your views on the news. We're talking about the news of the week with Jim Miller and Ruth Conniff during this hour. And with you, too, if you want to join in, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And we'll take a few calls on this before we move on to some other issues. Charles in La Crosse is with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joy. To directly answer your preposition at the beginning of the program, I feel that Obama isn't coming up with the runaway or the landslide because he's a male elitist snob, and I was for Obama. I wanted the colored guy, and I wanted the president of the Harvard Law Review, but he's just not closing the deal. And to carry along with that theme, I'll probably make one spin doctor happy and the other not so happy. I think another issue for the week was that Bill Clinton fired the first salvo of the 2012 campaign with Snow on ABC when he engaged a little bit of a tirade that he's so unhappy and he's not going to talk about until the election's over. And then Thursday night on one of the networks, they were talking about that Obama and Hillary camps can't get together as to what to do at the convention. So I think Obama's not closing the deal, and a major reason is that people have easily hurdled the race issue. I'm sure it's still an issue for some people, but have easily hurdled the race issue and have gone to him being a male elitist snob as not to close the deal. Great program,
right.
Joy. I'll listen on the radio.
I'm glad you called, Charles. I trust you misspoke when you called him the colored guy. Well, Ruth Conniff, he hasn't closed the deal because he portrays himself, Obama, that is, as an elitist snob.
It's fascinating to hear the talking point, the way that talking points work, where you hear the phrases.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are the Clinton campaign phrases. And isn't it interesting that the colored guy has worked in there, too? I mean, it's sort of a disparate set of messages. And interesting. I think that the sexist charge and the idea that there are these women who are outraged about Hillary's treatment who are going to vote for McCain has been pretty thoroughly disproved. I mean, you can argue about whether Obama is an elitist snob, a male elitist snob. I mean, those thoughts don't necessarily all fall into line for me, the male elitist snob thoughts, the effeteness that's charged, right, the lack of toughness, mm-hmm. and then the colored guy. It's an interesting message. It obviously, you know, parts of it have a lot of resonance. They carried Hillary pretty far. But I did a couple of columns on the women for McCain phenomenon, and from looking at polls and from talking to people like Tammy Baldwin and Barbara Lawton and other former Hillary supporters, I just don't see it. I mean, feminists, I think Katha Pollitt said a feminist would have to be insane to vote for John McCain. He's got an almost 100% pro-life voting record in the Senate. He has been just a very strong opponent of reproductive rights for women. And in addition to that, just kind of a sexist guy. I mean, talk about male elitist or, you know, whatever terminology you want to use. Look at this, you know, standing next to Cindy McCain and saying that she should be part of this, you know, this contest where she's supposed to end up topless at the end,
the biker crowd
in Sturgis really liked that one. Or this allegations of that he called her a very unsavory term for female genitalia. I mean, this guy is not your feminist candidate, so I don't see that. But the caller is right about the Clintons. There was a really hilarious Daily Show segment last night about the Clintons and the damage that they're continuing to do to the party, and that is no joke. I think that's really...
Well, Bill Clinton was asked by a reporter if he thought Barack Obama was ready to be president, and Bill Clinton said, well, you could argue no one's really ready to be president. He didn't exactly give him a glowing endorsement. Jim Miller, that's got to hurt?
Well, I mean, if we're going to bring in, you know, let's not forget Stephen Colbert, if we're going to get serious analysis here. I think you might want to move to something a little bit higher than The Daily Show here.
Oh, I don't know, the Clinton phenomenon? I mean, I think that comment by Bill and then Hillary's small group of supporters who need to have a catharsis by voting for her for president at the convention was pretty good comedy fodder.
Wonderful analysis. Good. With Barack Obama, it's very simple. People may say he is elitist, and maybe he is, but he's a very, very good politician. He took the nomination away from the Clintons when no one thought he could. He has been able to raise more money than any candidate ever has. He may be a lot of things, but poor politician he is not. It's going to be a very interesting race. And I was hoping we could maybe concentrate on Wisconsin rather than, you know, Jon Stewart. Wisconsin's going to be an amazingly important state for Obama.
You're mad about Jon Stewart.
I'm not mad about Jon Stewart. I mean,
line.
I think it's silly that these kinds of shows are brought into serious conversations. They're satire. That's what they do.
Yeah. Well,
but the bottom line is we're talking about a race that in Wisconsin could be very close, as it has been in the last two presidential elections. one of the comments I do agree with that was made before is that Obama and McCain will tell you where this election is by the amount of money they're spending. Visits are very nice, yard signs, it's a presidential election, who cares? But the amount of money that's being spent in a state on advertising is the best, is literally the best indicator on how this campaign is going. If you see money being spent on both sides, you know Wisconsin is still very close.
Yeah.
The polls that are released to the media by people like us may be important for political pundits, but the most important polls are the internal polls by each campaign. And those polls determine where the candidate goes and, more importantly, how much money is being spent. We don't know yet about how much money Obama's going to spend here. He has a comfortable lead, but I suspect at the end of the day, this is going to be a very close state for them. Because one of the things that has been said that I do agree with, there is something about Obama certainly not closing the deal here. We've got a large undecided vote in this state, and, you know, turnout in this election will be another thing that's very important. Well, the young people and African Americans are going to turn out in record numbers.
Yeah,
obviously, if they do, gives Obama an enormous advantage.
We certainly do want to talk a little bit about how the race is playing in Wisconsin, but all of the news of the week, including since the caller brought up the Clintons, it's now being reported that Barack Obama, maybe to mend some fences, asked Bill Clinton to speak at the convention, and Bill Clinton agreed and will be speaking on the Wednesday night before the vice presidential nominee speaks. A big deal, Ruth Conniff?
I mean, I think not only does this belong on The Daily Show, it belongs on Days of Our Lives, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the efforts that the Obama campaign has had to go to appease the Clintons are just ridiculous. It's time for the, you know, the primaries are over, and the Clintons should be backing the Democratic nominee. And instead, just as when Al Gore ran and the Clintons showed up in California to raise money right out from under him during his campaign, you know, they're sweeping into Denver with their own laundry list of issues. And I think the caller is absolutely right that it's the first salvo of 2012. I mean, Hillary Clinton should not be telling her supporters that, you know, she understands there needs to be a catharsis moment and they need to be able to cast a vote for her. And Bill Clinton should not be saying in his dodgy fashion that maybe nobody could be qualified to be president, meaning that Obama is not. I mean, they are continuing to run a campaign against him, and the Obama campaign is scrambling to appease them so that they don't blow the whole place up. I think that says a lot about the Clintons and the problems that they pose for their own party.
Yeah, and speaking of the vice presidential spot, we don't know yet who will be there for either side, but there's a lot of speculation this week that because Barack Obama spent so much time in Indiana that it was going to be Evan Bayh. Do you know Jim Miller?
I would have no way of knowing whether it is, but it, I mean, the names that keep popping up certainly would be more moderate members of, you know, the Democratic Party, people who come from swing states, although I'm not sure Indiana's a swing state, certainly Kane from Virginia. The interesting thing is the Democrats have always had a history of taking vice presidential candidates from the Senate, and this is an odd election because I think it's the first time in American history we have two sitting senators running.
Yeah.
Which is sort of interesting if you think about it, since everybody's upset about Washington, not only Bush but Congress, but that's a whole different story.
Mm-hmm.
I would think he'd probably go. Look, Obama, in my judgment, has not made a really bad mistake yet, and I'm pretty sure that they have a plan on what they want to help Obama going into the fall. If you remember rightly, one of the things that Clinton did was thought to be a mistake initially. He chose Al Gore, who was from a neighboring state, but he did so to present a new kind of younger politician. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Obama go with somebody roughly his age, somebody who's maybe a new face also. I can understand why he might want to go to someone like Biden, but I would think someone like a Kane from Virginia or a Bayh from Indiana would make some sense for him.
Yeah. What's the buzz in your circles, Ruth Conniff?
Well, I mean, the Hillary voters want Kathleen Sebelius. We haven't heard a whole lot about her lately. And I really don't think that's going to happen because, as I said before, I think that the women vote issue is actually not an issue. So I think Tim Kaine is very likely because Virginia, turning Virginia from red to blue would be such an important achievement. And I think, you know, Obama's been working hard in Virginia. He's got an amazing field operation there. And he's working in some other places in the South that seemed like very long shots, like Georgia. But Virginia is the least of the long shot states in the South. So I think that is a likely thing. He is, you know, the Republicans have already got their talking points lined up that it would be the most inexperienced ticket in the history of the world. So I think he's got that to contend with. I think running against McCain, I think it does make sense to try to lean forward with this, you know, the idea of true change and the idea of a young ticket that's got some new ideas and not just shore up himself on national security, as people have suggested, with picking somebody like a Jim Webb. Yeah. But he needs an attack dog. Obama really needs to be responding to some of these attacks from McCain. So if he's not getting it on the VP slot, it'd be nice to see somebody like a Jim Webb getting out there and responding to some of the McCain attacks.
Seemed to be that it was energy week on both campaign trails this week, with McCain and Obama trading jabs over energy policies, discussing energy policy, including this long-distance exchange.
He suggested we put air in our tires to save on gas. Do you think that's enough to break our dependence on Middle Eastern oil?
They think it's funny that they're making fun of something that is actually true.
Well, why don't we just use that as a starting point to talk about the energy policy? Good gag to say that Obama's energy policy was a tire gauge, Ruth Conniff?
No, I think it was transparently ridiculous. I mean, first of all, Obama gave a big speech in Lansing, Michigan, where he laid out a multi-pronged energy plan, and the tire gauge was not a big part of it. I think the McCain camp is jumping on another supposed opportunity to attack Obama, but as Obama said, there have been a series of analysis in the papers since then showing that, in fact, people inflating their tires, and AAA recommends it, you know, if you fill up your tires and they're not underinflated, if you do all the math, it actually comes out to a greater savings of energy than McCain's offshore drilling plan. So they're wrong. They're just wrong on the facts. And they're trying to make fun of him for having small ideas, when in fact he has set out a pretty ambitious plan to wean us off foreign oil in 10 years, to put a million new hybrids on the road that could get 150 miles to the gallon. He's got a bunch of proposals that are pretty ambitious. And McCain's got, you know, 45 new nuclear power plants and a whole lot of offshore drilling that the Energy Department says isn't going to make a dent for a decade, and even then isn't going to affect oil prices much.
Yeah, he did, though, Obama soften his opposition to offshore drilling, saying that maybe as part of a comprehensive plan, but also said we should tap strategic oil reserves, another change to a previous stand. Was he doing a little poll reading on this, Jim Miller?
Oh, I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, national polls surfaced within the last several weeks showing voters had done a 180-degree turn on offshore drilling. In all candor, too, McCain was the first one to change his mind. Obama kept saying no, 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 and then on a Tuesday he said, okay, I surrender. Polls are too bad. I could see doing that also. I think what Obama is doing, as well as McCain, they're laying out proposals. I mean, a hundred million new hybrid cars or something like that. They're not going to hit in either for another 5 to 10 years.
A million in 6 years, actually.
Yeah, I mean, the point is simply none of these things are going to help people going to their local gas pumps today. And I think the public knows that. I mean, you know, one of the things we always seem to forget when politicians start coming up with these ideas, the public isn't that naive about these things. They'll make some judgments on these candidates on some issues. I still think at the end of the day, this is an election where they're going to make their final decision on how they view the leadership capacities of both guys. One of the things that we noticed in our poll was there are a lot of issues people are saying that are their main issues. I mean, you know, the majority say tax the economy with a rock second, but it's not as many as you would have thought. And I still think at the end of the day, as most elections are in this country, they'll elect somebody on character, of someone that they particularly like and someone they think that can lead the country. And I think that's what a lot of these ads will be about as you go into the fall. not specifically on issues, but specifically on, if you like, personal characteristics and personal traits.
Yeah. Let's go take another call. Daniel in Sturgeon Bay. Hi, Daniel.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I think it's becoming increasingly clear to me that McCain is basically supporting things that are said in his commercials that really don't logically follow. Take, for instance, fewer jobs being created as a result of a larger government or greater taxes. That's a non sequitur because Obama wants to rebuild the infrastructure, and having a large government is going to do that. We've seen that happen under Bill Clinton's administration. Jobs will be created, manufacturing, industry, all these things. I don't see how we'll have fewer jobs. So these things that he supports that are being said, notice I said that he didn't say them in his commercials, but these things that are being said in his commercials that he supports just don't logically follow. And it seems that he's reaching a certain target audience.
Well, and specifically when he says Barack Obama will raise your taxes and that will mean fewer jobs, you say that that's the non sequitur?
That's right. It just doesn't logically follow because if you have government, a larger government that is able to support these new changes in America that we know we have to do in order to become energy independent, it's going to create more jobs. So I don't see how he has the gall to say that we're going to have fewer jobs as a result of that.
Yeah. Jim Miller, do you know why McCain has the gall to say that?
Well, I think one of the, whether people agree with it or not, one of the free market ideas is that lower taxes can spur the economy and create jobs. Higher taxes tend to reduce jobs. Now, we're talking about in the private sector. I think McCain would like to talk about taxes. One of the issues that, you know, he does much better with than Barack Obama. I think you will see ads also talking about Barack Obama raising taxes and, you know, trying to portray him as the classic liberal Democrat. I'm not sure it's going to be that successful, but certainly that's one of the things that Republicans have talked about for a very long time. That, I would say, is a traditional Republican ad. And, I mean, they're going to run it because there is some philosophical differences between these guys. But at the end of the day, you know, they're both running as mavericks. They're both running as change agents. And you can say, well, Barack Obama obviously is much better at it, and that's certainly true at this point. But John McCain has a long history of also being a change guy and being a maverick. And the question is simply, can he remind people of that between now and November?
Yeah. Ruth Conniff?
Well, this is that we've had 8 years for the Republicans to try out this plan. What Obama is saying is that he wants to get rid of the tax cuts for corporations and the top 1% of Americans that has cost this country so much money. And McCain wants to cut the corporate tax rate. He has a tax plan that would cost about $1.7 trillion over 10 years by cutting taxes even further for corporations and, incredibly, $4 billion for oil companies. So This is not a plan that's going to put money in the pockets of average Americans. This is the tax cuts for the very, very wealthy and the corporations that Bush has been ramming down our throats. And look at the economic effect. I mean, it doesn't take, you know, a Rhodes Scholar to figure out that we've been headed down a really bad path economically in this country. So I think at some point, you know, voters aren't that stupid, and they start to see what the result is. Obama's talking about a $1,000 tax rebate to consumers of oil, and he's talking about a windfall tax for oil companies. And the McCain campaign is trying to spin that as somehow higher taxes for ordinary Americans. So, I mean, this is an argument that has gone on, you know, for decades between the Republicans and the Democrats, but I think this is a particularly bad year for the Republicans to continue to advance this.
We're going to talk a little bit more about energy. We're going to talk about President Bush in China, there to attend the opening ceremonies of the Beijing Olympics tonight, and what he had to say about China yesterday. And what else? We'll probably talk about Brett Favre. Our guest, Jim Miller, did some polling on that subject, too. So those topics and more coming up as the Week in Review continues here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Veronica Rickert is with you after 9 o'clock. With gas prices up, more and more Americans are parking their cars and riding bicycles. After 9, Veronica and her guests will discuss current trends in biking, safety, and how to choose the right bike for you. That's coming up in our next hour. We are reviewing the news of the week with two guests. Ruth Conniff is political editor for The Progressive Magazine, and Jim Miller is president of the Wisconsin Policy Research Institute. We welcome your comments on the news of the week, especially as we move on to topics involving China and the Olympics. We'll talk a little bit, too, about the Iraq and oil profits in Iraq. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk at WPR.org. First, here's what President Bush had to say yesterday on his way to China.
The United States believes the people of China deserve the fundamental liberty that is the natural right of all human beings. So America stands in firm opposition to China's detention of political dissidents and human rights advocates and religious activists.
To which China said Bush should mind his own business. Ruth Conniff, what do you think of this?
I think that Bush should really put his money where his mouth is and stand up against the repression of the Chinese government, which has been on major display in the lead-up to the Olympics. But as my editor, Matt Rothschild, writes in a blog today on our website, you know, who is Bush to criticize China on human rights? I mean, Bush is the guy who said, I don't care what the international lawyers say, we're going to kick some ass after 9/11. And, you know, he has pioneered this program, which is the shame of America, to take thousands of people off to these black sites, torture, waterboarding, people held indefinitely at Guantanamo without access to lawyers. It's, you know, our country has gotten a real black eye on human rights under Bush, and so it puts us in a lousy position to talk about human rights abroad. Mm-hmm. Still, China is worse, and I think that what Bush could do on his trip, if he insists on going to the opening ceremonies, is to meet with some of the dissidents, slave laborers, perhaps. He actually used the word labor rights in his statement, which was remarkable coming from his administration, which has been notoriously weak on labor rights in this country. But he should meet with the parents of some of the kids that were killed in the school collapses who have been silenced by the Chinese government. And I think the lead-up to the Olympics really shows, more than anything else, how untrue the idea that somehow opening up to the country economically and the free market is going to lead to greater individual freedom. Because there's a lot of money to be made for making common cause with the repressive Chinese government. And so corporate profits and the Olympics haven't stopped the incredible repression of that government.
Yeah. So, Jim Miller, do you think President Bush is going to get anywhere with that kind of talk?
I doubt he's going to get anywhere. I think he has said about as much as he's going to be able to say, unless he wants to totally embarrass the Chinese government, because they view the Olympics as they're shining, achievement. There is also a bottom line here in that for America's future, China holds so much of our debt that we need them to be a partner. Should we not say some things about some of the repression? I think we definitely should. But I think there is a time and a place for these things. If Bush is going to the Olympics, he's basically there representing our country. And he should be putting the best interests of our country first and maybe rhetoric second. Are they doing some terrible things in places like Tibet? Absolutely. But the point is simply, what exactly can Bush do about that while he's in China? I think he can talk about it, but at the end of the day, China is becoming a major economic power, and we have to deal with them. We don't want to antagonize them and make them any kind of an enemy. We need to remind them on an ongoing basis about human rights for their people, but our best interest is to protecting the economic rights of America, and especially middle America.
We have a fair amount of leverage with China through, you know, we have lost some leverage because of giving them most favored nation status and not holding their feet to the fire. But the Chinese government has also shown that it's willing to accommodate demands by the other trading partners that it has. For example, in Europe, they meet much higher standards of health and safety for their products than they do when selling to the United States. So I think that the Bush administration, despite its almost messianic rhetoric about spreading the fires of freedom around the globe, has been remarkably shy about actually making human rights, labor rights, and the environment, and even safety for consumers in this country front and center in dealing with China.
Let's talk a little bit about another story in the news as our time is running short here. The Government Accountability Office this week released figures showing that Iraq could finish the year with as much as a $79 billion budget surplus due to oil revenues, yet is not spending a fraction of that on reconstruction of Iraq. Senator Carl Levin says, "We are being taken for by fools by the Iraqi government that continues to take in American money to pay for their reconstruction." Jim Miller, what should we make of this?
Oh, I think that it goes without question. If their oil revenues proceed with that much money and that much surplus, no reason for us to be spending billions of dollars in for reconstruction. It's one thing to help to stabilize their country militarily. It's another to have to subsidize them with money that they may not need. Mm-hmm. I mean, I absolutely think it's ridiculous. I mean, it's kind of like subsidizing very rich farmers for ethanol when they don't need it. We do it in this country also. And I think it's time to stop giving these handouts, whether it's in Iraq or here. I mean, people who don't need the money shouldn't get it.
Ruth Conniff?
Well, Halliburton has made a lot of money off of reconstruction of Iraq. And so while we've seen, you know, companies like Halliburton and Blackwater getting rich, we the taxpayers, are sending billions of dollars over there. And meanwhile, as one of the callers mentioned, our own infrastructure is collapsing. So it is definitely clear that it's time for Iraq to start paying the bill out of these oil profits, which allegedly was what was going to happen from the beginning. Remember when the war wasn't going to cost anything because the administration told us that oil money was going to pay for the whole thing? Well, instead, we've been hemorrhaging money in Iraq. And, you know, a caller mentioned infrastructure and that idea being kicked around as an exciting idea in the Democratic Party, which is sort of sad when you think about it. But, yeah, we need to be putting money into our own roads and bridges and stimulating our own economy. And what I would like to see from the Obama campaign is a more ringing, exciting statement. There's a group called the Apollo Alliance that talks about green-collar jobs and investing in energy independence in this country and stimulating the economy through a major public works investment in getting us off foreign oil and really turning the page here. And I would love to see a JFK-like speech from Obama saying, we're going to do it, it's going to be an Apollo project, we're going to become energy independent, we're going to make a major investment in our infrastructure, and we're going to save our economy here.
Yes. Can I ask one quick question? We keep talking about all these things we need to do, and then Bush hasn't done it. I believe since 2006 the Democrats have run Congress, they haven't done anything.
Hey, I agree with you that the Democrats should stand up more than they have stood up. But those kinds of bully pulpit ideas and those kinds of major initiatives really require an executive.
Midnight or something? I mean, you know, the point is simply no one is doing anything in Washington, and the Democrats have controlled the Congress for the last 2 years and have gotten absolutely nothing done.
Well, they've gotten a few things done. But I would say, Jim, that if I were in your position, I would feel grumpy, too, because I think it's a bad year, as you said, at the outset for Republicans.
I mean, the one thing I understand
really,
is they
have a lousy candidate, they have a lousy president, and they're about to lose a bunch of seats in Congress, and I hope the Democrats do get a little backbone and start to really get us off this disastrous path the Republicans have set us on.
Let me quickly bring up both John McCain this week and Governor Doyle. We're talking about nuclear energy this week. Governor Jim Doyle says he's open to studying the possibility of building new nuclear power plants in Wisconsin. But Doyle said the first nuclear power plant to be built in the United States in 30 years won't be here yet. Maybe it's time to look at that moratorium. Is it time to study the possibility of new nuke power plants in Wisconsin, Jim Miller?
Oh, I think so. I mean, you know, again, people keep talking about Europe. Europe has already proved that you can have safe nuclear power. And it is, again, this is not the answer to $4 a gallon gas right now. It would take years to do this. But these are the kinds of policies that we're going to have to seriously look at. We can't keep saying no to everything people want to do to and take us away from foreign oil. And, I mean, you know, that's been one of the problems for the last 30 years. Every time someone brings up a new idea, whether it's drilling in Alaska, nuclear power, drilling offshore, we keep getting hit. No, no, you can't do it. Well, what can you do? And that's one of the things that's going to have to really be discussed, regardless of who's president.
Yeah.
Where are we going to go to get our energy in the future, short-term and long-term?
Doyle
and
says he doesn't...
Nuclear power definitely fits into that grid.
Yeah, Doyle went on to say he doesn't think Wisconsin should be sitting with our heads in our hands while other states explore energy alternatives. Ruth Conniff?
There's one question about nuclear power. What do we do with the waste? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've been trying to figure this out from the outset. And there's been some rather alarming reports about the lack of safety at the existing nuclear power plants in this country. So until we solve that problem, you're not going to get a whole lot of people saying, sure, bury the waste in my backyard. I don't see Wisconsinites, you know, opening their arms. Should they move the Yucca Mountain facility to store waste to Wisconsin? I don't think it's going to happen because people don't want to live next to nuclear waste. It lasts for centuries. The other problem with nuclear power is it's very, very expensive to get these plants up and running. So talk about a major infrastructure investment.
Yeah.
It seems to me until we have looked at some other green energy technologies that don't come along with this cataclysmic safety issue, it doesn't make sense to dump that kind of money into nuclear power.
Let me,
as much as Dick Cheney likes it.
Let me use our final moments here to talk about this story.
I think we're all sad to see Brett Favre's career as a Packer end. Well, we are glad that this matter has come to closure in a way that's good for the team and good for Brett.
That was Packers president and CEO Mark Murphy talking about the trade of Brett Favre to the New York Jets. So Brett is a Jet. And Jim Miller, I know the Policy Research Institute did some polling on this, too, and very quickly because we're almost out of time. Most of us think the Packers were in the right with how they handled this situation.
Yeah, I think most people in Wisconsin came to the conclusion that Brett Favre was a great individual player, but Green Bay Packers as a team was more important. And I think that outsiders from who don't live here don't quite understand the Green Bay Packers are a not-for-profit team owned by literally over 100,000 shareholders who live in Wisconsin. These people will always put the team first above any individual star. And I think that's one of the things that happened. It's very sad to see. But, you know, life goes on. That was really as the world turns, by the way.
Yeah, it sure was. And we don't have a lot of time, but just a quick reaction, Ruth Conniff. Are you bummed at all?
Yeah, I think we're all a little sad, you know, in Wisconsin. I like Jim Miller's plug for the community-owned team. I absolutely agree. I think this was, the heartlessness of the free market, and as Brett put it, it's just business, but there's a lot of emotion attached, and, you know, Packer fans are saddened by it. But, you know, in the end, life goes on.
Yeah, we move on, and we'll have to move on. We're out of time. Jim Miller, Ruth Conniff, thank you both very much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
By Ruth Conniff, political editor for the Progressive Magazine, Jim Miller, president of the Wisconsin Policy Research Institute. Thanks to Rob Ferret and Cynthia Schuster for producing the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
Sign up for Radio Waves, our monthly e-newsletter, the next time you visit WPR.org. It'll keep you informed about what's going on at Wisconsin Public Radio, both on the air and behind the scenes.